Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode, we discuss the founding anniversaries for teams in Cleveland, Seattle, and San Francisco, as well as a memorable football birthdays, and we'll provide that with you with a great bit of nostalgia, and it's all coming up in just one moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the dunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. And we have some great football history, some nostalgic news that's going to fill your football brains from the date of June 4th throughout football history. We're going back, almost 150 years back in history books and finding quite a bit. And we go way back in that time machine history book today, as we're going to start off with our football history headlines from June 4th. Get this, 1875, as Harvard faced Tufts University, that's T-U-F-T-S University, in the first game between two American colleges played under rules similar to the May 1874 McGill versus Harvard contest. You remember those back on May 14th and 15th in our football history headlines. The rules included each side fielding just 11 men at any given time, and the ball was advanced by kicking or carrying it, and tackles of the ball carrier stopped play. Surprisingly, the game was won by the upstart Tufts squad, who was the first time I've ever played a game. But that sounds very familiar to us, doesn't it? Ball's advanced by kicking or carrying it, and the tackles of the ball carrier stopped play. That's just amazing. That's getting closer and closer to the game of football that we love. June 4th, 1944, the Cleveland Browns franchise forms in the All-American Football Conference when local Cleveland businessman Arthur B. McBride acquired a franchise in the new league. When the AAFC dissolved in 1949, the franchise joined the NFL, and McBride and his partners sold the Browns to another group of Northeastern Ohio investors in 1953 for a price that was unheard of at the time, $600,000. 8 years after that, another franchise sale took place, and Art Modell took controlling shares of the Browns. In 1995, Modell moved the franchise to Baltimore under the Ravens mascot name. The Browns were reformed, though, as a new franchise retaining their old historical records and team colors and mascot in the year 1999. That same day, June 4th, 1944, the San Francisco 49ers franchise also formed in the All-American Football Conference. Co-owners Jay and Victor P. Morabito bought into and created the franchise and then moved the team into the NFL after the AAFC collapse in 1950. The team had its greatest success in the 1980s under legendary coach Bill Walsh and quarterbacks Joe Montana and Steve Young. And they had a supporting cast of players like Jerry Rice and Ronnie Lott. They have won the NFL's coveted Lombardi Trophy five different times in the Super Bowl era. June 4th, 1974, Seattle Seahawks franchise forms after almost 20 years of planning, plotting, and applying. Finally, on the date in 1974, the NFL granted access into the league, and the Pacific Northwest gained a foothold in the professional football market as an expansion team. The team has played in three Super Bowls and raised the Lombardi in Super Bowl 48 under the coaching of Pete Carroll. If you want to be able to read through some old articles like we do oftentimes, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you get access to over 640 million pages worth of the news from the US, Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating all the way back to 1798. And you get as new news as yesterday. Get a free 1 week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll also be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers for your free 1 week today. Now let's go to some birthdays of Hall of Famers for this June 4th. And we're going to go way back again. 1891 is the year. Lexington, Georgia. The fine halfback of the University of Georgia for the seasons of 1910 to 1913. Bob McWhorter was born. The National Football Foundation shares some great info on McWhorter, as it is an interesting journey for Bob, how he attended the University of Georgia. In 1910, McWhorter was attending Gordon Military School and was a star athlete on more than just the Gridiron Gang. The military school played baseball against the Bulldogs and put on a pretty good beatdown of them by the score of 11-0. You imagine that, a bunch of high schoolers beating a college team 11-0 in baseball. Georgia's powers that be saw the great organization from the Gordon coach, who was W. Alex Cunningham, and quickly coerced him into becoming Georgia's football and baseball coach. One of the first things that Cunningham did in his new role was to recruit as many athletes from the academy as he could, because after all, he had laid their athletic foundations. McWhorter was, of course, one of the Gordon players that attended Georgia after his coach's calling. However, after only being a junior at Gordon, McWhorter had to take a special exam to qualify for college. He passed the exam with very high scores, and at Georgia, he was Phi Beta Kappa. Pretty smart guy. He played halfback for Georgia from 1910 to 1913 and scored 61 touchdowns, and he was All-Southern four times and made the Park Davis All-American selection in 1913. Bob McWhorter's collegiate football records are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction in 1954. And isn't that just a great bit of football history? We had three NFL franchises that had their founding on this day, June 4th. You know, of course, Seattle Seahawks, the Cleveland Browns, and the San Francisco 49ers. All very, very much storied franchises, all with championship credentials. You know, we didn't even discuss the NFL championships with the Cleveland Browns and the AAFC championships. They won all four AAFC championships and won their very first NFL championship in their inaugural league in the year, 1950. And won a few others after that under the great legendary coach Paul Brown, and great players, you know, like Jim Brown and Otto Graham and Lou Groza, you know, just some fantastic players. And we've talked about many of them, and there's many more from those Browns teams. And, you know, the 49ers, we know what they did in the 80s, a team of the 80s. And, you know, basically, Seattle could have been the team of the 2010s. But unfortunately, you know, they had that interception when on a play in the Super Bowl where, the Patriots picked off the pass right at the end on, short yardage, and you had beast mode in the backfield. Not sure what happened there on that play call, but they could have won another championship and probably could have been a dynasty with the Dome Patrol and, the Legion of Doom, not the Dome Patrol. But they were just some great teams, great offenses, great defenses. Who knows what they could have done, but they did win one Super Bowl championship, that's for sure. So we hope you enjoyed this football history. We're glad you joined us once again. Hope you'll join us back again tomorrow and each and every day for just those little tidbits of football history, because we cover it one day at a time and every single day of the year. And we hope you also join us over on sportshistorynetwork.com, where we have some great podcasters going on over there besides us, talking about sports history each every and every day of the year. And don't forget, you can check us out anytime at thepigskindispatch.com, where we have some daily football history there as well, and some great photos coming from some different topics, and just great discussions. And hopefully we put most of those into podcasts too, and you can find all our podcasts there, pigskindispatch.com. And if you have any questions, email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll be sure to answer you back. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. we invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.